This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We'll now head out to the hotline and welcome in the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Warren Moon back on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Warren, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Zach. How you doing? It's a very chaotic time that we're living in right now. A lot of different things going on. A lot of people suffering from whatever it is, whether it's disease, whether it's unemployment, whether it's just the tragedy of what happened with George Floyd. So, yeah, a lot of things to deal with right now.
It's a tough time, no question. Let me first ask you about George Floyd. We all saw the horrible murder that did occur last week, and we've seen what has come from the aftermath of that killing by Derek Chauvin, the officer. How do you process the last 2 weeks, Warren?
You know, it was just tragic, and it was also heartbreaking to watch. I've never seen anything that vivid and that visual on television before, to see a man basically executed in front of your eyes and just have the air kind of just sucked out of his body or squeezed out of his body. It's a image, I think, that not only affected me and not only affected all black people, but it's affected people all over the world. And I think that's why you see the outcry of the anger, the pain that you're seeing everywhere. And that's why everybody's, you know, protesting in the way they are, because they're just tired of it. And I think it took something this vivid to get everybody's attention.
How do you think change will be created so we're not in a situation like this where it does happen again somewhere down the road?
Well, there's got to be a lot of dialogue that's going to go on, and there's got to be a lot of changes in policies. There's got to be reform in the police departments all over the country, and there's got to be some trust established between police and especially people of color in communities. So is there going to be a lot of work that needs to be done over the next decade or so to get this thing back on track? It's not going to happen overnight, but as long as you're making strides towards trying to make things better, I think we can get this thing turned around in a positive direction. So that's why you're seeing all these young people out there right now that are protesting, because they see how real this is. And it's not just African Americans; it's people of all colors, it's people of all ages. It's a lot of young people, and it's also people around the world who were disgusted by what they had to watch happen here in the United States. We used to be a country that people led by example. I don't think people right now are looking at the example of what's going on in this country right now and are very, very proud of what's going on here.
And for so many years, you know this, black people have been calling out for help. And, we even look at the Colin Kaepernick situation, and the message was being deflected through other different reasons and other things that were being brought up. The number one important thing, I think, it's to listen. And really, some of the more powerful images that I've seen this week are at the protests, when officers and the protesters are coming together to talk about these things and march as one.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take people listening. It's going to take people seeing everything. It's going to take people respecting one another and respecting one another's opinion. And that's something that people used to do somewhat in this country, is even if you had a difference of opinion, that doesn't mean you don't like the person anymore. You have to hate that person because they don't believe the same thing as you. And that's what I see a lot more happening here. We're divided when it comes to politics. We're divided when it comes to religion. I mean, we're divided when it comes to social problems. But a lot of that has always been, but I don't think there's been the hate and the anger that's come along with it. So that's something we have to change. We just have to respect other people's opinions, that we are going to be different, that we aren't going to all look the same. We aren't going to pray to the same God. We're not going to vote for the same people, but we should still be able to live together and live in harmony, and that's something that's missing.
The Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon here with us. With all that you just said, Drew Brees had the comments 24 hours ago that he would never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America, has apologized since then, because once again, when we talk about the protesting that was going on back in 2016 and since then, by Colin Kaepernick and many others, the message of social injustice and the protest against social injustice and police brutality did get hijacked when people have been talking about the military and the flag. Just what was your reaction when you saw the Drew Brees comments yesterday?
You know, I just thought Drew was, again, one of those people that just wasn't listening, that's just not listening to what the cause is here. And I think he's a much more intelligent guy than that, because he's been so involved in that community down in New Orleans since he got there after Katrina. And, I mean, even as recently as this COVID-19 thing, he provided make that 5 million meals to people in that community, and a lot of those people were African Americans who are living in poverty. So for him to not understand what's been going on over the last week or so with all these protests and that and the uprising, I just don't know where those comments came from. And I think they just came from a selfish place, that he was talking about what the flag and what the Star Spangled Banner meant to him. But this really had nothing to do with the flag or the Star Spangled Banner. This has to do with what's going on with police brutality and injustice to people of color. And I think he just lost it all, and he just went into what was important to him, and that's where he lost the whole meaning of what's going on right now. I think he's been talked to by a lot of different people. Maybe he understands a little bit better right now. He did apologize, but I think now he's got some rebuilding to do with his teammates and also with people in his community, because a lot of people have lost a lot of trust in him over that one incident. But I think if you look at the history of what Drew has been able to do over the time that he's been in New Orleans, I think he's at least allowed a mistake. And as long as he makes up for that mistake, I think he should be forgiven.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Warren Moon, if you were playing in today's age, how would you try to use your platform if you were still a quarterback in the National Football League?
You know, kind of the same way. I think more of my crusade when I came into the league was just fighting for more opportunities for African-American quarterbacks to get more opportunities to play. And you see what's going on in the league right now with the way they're flourishing, with the opportunities that they're getting, and I think things are in a much more positive position with the quarterback position. I think we still have a long way to go in coaching. I think we still have a long way to go in general managers and upper management. But as far as what's going on socially in communities, I would definitely be involved, because I had a foundation in Houston when I was there, and we were very active in that community. I think with the asset of social media, you can get to people a lot faster and a lot quicker nowadays as far as getting your feelings out and getting your message out, because it goes directly to the people that are following you. Where back when I played, you had to rely on a newspaper article, and that could get edited, or you had to rely on a television interview, and that could be edited. So nowadays, your message goes straight to the people, and you write from your words. And that's what makes it good in some ways, but it also makes it bad in some ways if you say the wrong thing, because you saw what happened with Drew by saying the wrong thing. He's feeling the backlash of that.
You wrote a book years ago, Never Give Up on Your Dream, and you talked about your journey and all the obstacles and how you weren't embraced right away because of the color of your skin. How did you power through that? Warren Moon, because it's really remarkable when people are basically trying not to give you a job, or people are trying to put you down because of the color of your skin, something you can't control, and you're able to go on to have the career and life that you had being a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it was difficult, and I knew it was difficult when I took on that position at a very young age, that I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me playing that position, so I knew it was going to be tough to get those opportunities. So when I did have roadblocks, you know, I just understood that it wasn't going to be easy, and I think a person that I found a lot of my strength from was my mom, just the way she took care of our family, because when my dad died when I was 7 years old, she kind of had to go back to school, re-educate herself, and get a job and take care of six kids and make sure we had food on the table, make sure we had clean clothes on our back, and she was still working two shifts as a private duty nurse. So watching her, the way she orchestrated and kept our family together, and watching the strength and how she persevered through all of that, I think really rubbed off on me, and it gave me that same type of strength when I had to deal with obstacles and had to persevere.
Talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Warren Moon. Warren, I'll be honest with you. Back in 2016, when Colin Kaepernick first elected to protest, I got caught up in the pig cop socks. I got caught up in thinking it was offensive to the military and the flag. And then, you know, covering the sport, when you had conversations with players and I really listened to what the message were, I understood the importance and the actual message of protesting. I would imagine that the protests are going to happen once again on a football field in 2020. How do you think they're going to be perceived this time around? Because I hope that they're perceived with now everyone understanding what the purpose of the protest is, but you know, each and every person will take it from a different angle.
Yeah, there's always going to be people that don't agree, and I'm sure there's people that still disagree today, even though they saw what they saw. That's just kind of the society that we live in. Everybody's not going to agree with one another. But I think there is going to be more of an understanding of why it's being done. And hopefully over the next couple of months, if the progress starts to be made as far as making some changes in police reform and making some changes into how people are being treated as far as you know, inhumane treatment to African Americans or also people of color, if people can see that positive change is really being made and there's dialogue being done and there's some reforms being made and things like that, maybe there's no need to have the protest, because what a protest is supposed to do is bring visibility to a subject, and there's definitely visibility of that subject right now. Now it's a matter of trying to make some progress and get things done. And if as long as you're making progress, there's really no need to protest after that. So we'll see how everything shakes out by September. Maybe there's no need to do that, but if there isn't enough progress being made, then maybe you continue to keep protesting.
Are you optimistic that this is the turning point and that we're going to start to see not just some change, but some serious change?
Yeah, I really am. And the reason I am is because it's not all about African Americans out there walking those streets. There are all different types of ethnic groups out there, and some of them are dominated more by white people than they are black. So I think everybody's kind of fed up with what has been going on. I think these young people are much more educated than we were back in the day. Because of social media, you have so much information out there about what's going on. And this is quite a crusade. So I think there is going to be some great and positive change here coming up. And hopefully these people in government in these states all over the country and these cities all over the country are up to the task of opening their minds and opening their hearts to make some changes.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Getting to some football matters for this upcoming season, and we still don't know if it's going to start on time with all that's going on in the world with the coronavirus pandemic. But I look at the team that you follow very closely, the Seattle Seahawks. Offensively, no questions for me. I think that Seahawks team is going to be a really good football team once again. I just wonder if the defense takes that next step this year. Where's your confidence in the Seahawks defense going into this year?
You know, I think the defense will be better than last year because they had a number of young people playing, especially in the secondary. They got a lot of experience last year. If they can get Jadeveon Clowney back in the lineup, I think he gives them another great weapon on the edge. You got to have those edge rushers in this league in order to put pressure on quarterbacks, because the passing game is so important. You know, my biggest concern is on the offensive side of the ball, believe it or not, where You know, Penny had a knee injury. We don't know if he's going to be back for the start of the season. And also, Chris Carson broke a bone in his hip, and we don't know if he's going to be 100% right off the bat. So, I think that's one of the reasons why they signed Wilder to make sure of that. So, yeah, I think they're going to have another solid football team this year. Whenever you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, it gives you a chance to win most football games, and then you add the other pieces around it. They have a pretty good core group of guys.
Yeah, it was a smart move adding depth to that running back room. No doubt about that. Let me ask you about this though, Russell Wilson, and just to see, and we all knew he was a really good player. But to see what he's been able to do the last 2 years with all the changes that were going on with the Seahawks organization, how about what Russ has shown you the last 2 years?
Well, he's shown me the type of player that he can be if they let him loose. And, you know, Pete is a coach that likes to run the football and play great defense. He's a defensive-minded coach. So, you know, Russell's been kind of handicapped that way since he's been here, that he hasn't been asked to do a lot. But these last couple of years, he has been asked to do a little bit more, and he's risen to the occasion. We always have known he's a big play quarterback and makes most of his plays in the fourth quarter, but he's been asked to carry the football team a little bit more the last couple of years, and he's done a great job of it, especially with Brian Schottenheimer as the offensive coordinator. They're really in sync together. So with DK Metcalf, coming in and making a big impact as a rookie last year, I think he's going to have a better year this year, because wide receivers tend to make a big jump in that second year. So I think they're in good shape. But again, the running game is the only thing that really concerns me. And if those guys come back healthy, then I think they're going to have one of the stronger running backs rooms in the league, because you have three guys now that can really run the football.
Yeah, and Carson, Penny, and Hyde, and we'll see the health on Carson and Penny whenever the season does get underway. Warren Moon here with us on the show. Let me ask you about someone that you know very well, and that is Cam Newton. The last 2 years haven't gone the way that he would like it to go, with the shoulder injury and the foot injury, now still without a football home. How much good football do you think Cam has left in him?
You know, if he's healthy, he still has a lot of good football left in him, only because he's only 30, 31 years old, even though he does have some wear and tear on him from some of those injuries. But he's still one of the best athletes at that position. And from what he's shown on Instagram and different things like that, he's in excellent shape. And now it's just a matter of teams getting a chance to examine him with their doctors, and also be able to sit down and talk to him and just kind of learn who he is, because he's a different personality than most quarterbacks around the league. And that's something that you have to take into consideration, that is this the type of guy that you want to lead your football team? And the only way you can find that out is to get in front of him and have a conversation with him. And that hasn't been able to happen because of the pandemic and the limited traveling. So it's unfortunate that he doesn't have a job right now, but I think he will get one. I just don't know how it's going to come. And once he gets a chance to get back into the league, then he'll show what he can do once he gets on the field.
Do you think the Patriots should bring him in, Warren?
You know, I would. If I'm any team in this league, I would bring him in. He's just been that good since he's been in the league, except for the years that he was hurt. So why wouldn't you take a chance of just taking a look at him and sitting him down, talking to him, and seeing where he is? But the problem is you can't do that right now. So I don't know when that's going to happen. It probably should be here pretty soon. Things are starting to open up all over the country, and hopefully he'll get that opportunity, because I think the guy is still dying to play football. He's working his tail off right now, and we all know what he's capable of doing when he's healthy.
All right, before we let you run, let me go back to the NFC West. We know that the 49ers and Seahawks, we expect them to be two great football teams this year. The Rams and the Cardinals, I think this is the best division in football this year. What do you see with the Rams and the Cardinals entering this season?
You know, I really like what the Cardinals are doing. They just picked up DeAndre Hopkins to go along with Larry Fitzgerald and Kirk, the young receiver. They've got some really good receivers on the outside, and I think Murray is just going to only improve in his second year. He had a really outstanding rookie year, rookie of the year offensively, and he's only going to get better in that offense, an offense that he knows pretty well. I think they're going to get better on defense. So, yeah, this is going to be a very competitive team. They were in most of the games that they played in last year. They lost a lot of close games, and they're only going to be more improved this year. So Like you said, this division is very, very tough. It's going to be tough from top to bottom. The Rams have lost a lot of good players over the last couple of years, so I'm interested to see how they replace some of those guys. I know they have a lot of young guys that they're really high on. They still have their quarterback in place, but they lost Gurley. They're going to have to come up with an every-down runner, and I don't know who that's going to be. There's a couple of guys that can be that, but they have really good receivers. And defensively, if you have Aaron Donald, you always have a chance. But they did lose a lot of good defensive players as well, a lot of veterans who they had to get rid of because of salary cap problems. But, again, if they have good young players behind them, who knows? They could be another dangerous team in the division.
One more for you, Warren. Do you trust the Browns? Do you think the Browns are a playoff team this year?
On paper, they are. There's no question about it. I mean, I think offensively they really improved themselves on the offensive line, drafting the kid Wills from Alabama, and also picking up the big tackle from the Titans. They have two wide receivers who are legitimate. They have two good tight ends now and two really good running backs. I don't know how they're going to keep both of those guys on the side. I mean, one of those guys on the sideline, because they both, are 1,000-yard backs. So offensively, they're really strong. And on the defensive side, I think they're going to be better than they were last year. This could be a playoff team if their quarterback plays well, Baker Mayfield. And he had an off year last year. I think it was unfortunate with the coaching that was going on last year. They didn't seem to be on the same page. I think having the new coaching change is really going to help him, and I think he's more focused in on just being a best quarterback he can be, as opposed to all the other fluff that was surrounding him last year.
WMoon1 on Twitter, WarrenMoon1 on Instagram. Make sure you give the Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback a follow. Warren, always appreciate your perspective. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks for having me on. We look forward to talking to you down the road when we get some football going.
From your lips to God's ears. Thanks so much. Warren Moon there with us on the show. 20 past the hour, we'll break. We'll come on back, and we will chat about Drew Brees.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
At Zach Gelb on Twitter, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line 855-212-4227 is sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback. For info and eligibility. Diana Rossini tweets, "The Saints met virtually as a team today and spent the entire meeting discussing the last few days. Quarterback Drew Brees addressed the team and apologized. I was told by one player, quote, it got real in their discussions. It was emotional. Another player added, we love Drew through it all." So the last 24 hours from Drew Brees, clearly not his finest moment. Now, let me say this, and this is not serving as a distraction. This is not trying to, I should say, deflect any blame and take away from anything that Drew Brees did say. To call Drew Brees a racist, to say that Drew Brees is a bad guy, those are things that I don't agree with. And I flat out and I vehemently disagree with it. With that being said, a good guy can do something very bad and very wrong. And that's what Drew Brees said. I don't think he had any malicious intent when asked about the protest, the national anthem protest that was led by Colin Kaepernick and on the possibility of it coming back. But when you say, quote, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America, even if your intentions are fine, you drop the ball and you severely miss the point here and have zero read of the room. When we did witness, and I went back and watched the video again last night of George Floyd being murdered by Officer Chauvin. When you go back and watch that, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a great respect and a great love for the military. I'm not saying we shouldn't have pride in the American flag, because I do have great pride in the American flag. I do have great respect for the heroes that protect our freedoms in this world and risk their lives so we could try to live freely. But with all that's going on, I don't like anymore, and it took me time to realize this, because in 2016, as I told Warren Moon, in 2016, when the protests first started, I felt similar to Drew Brees. I felt that it's disrespectful to what the flag represents. It's disrespectful to people that serve our country and people that have made the ultimate sacrifice. But here's where I think I was wrong, and I know I was wrong. At first, we didn't listen. And yes, Kaepernick didn't go about it the correct way. When we look at, in some aspects, the pig cop socks and also the line about Castro and wearing the Castro shirts. Yes, that part, he didn't go about it the right way. If you really think about it, though, he caused a great discussion and he brought a great awareness by using his platform. And he did that on a stage where his voice and his actions would actually be seen and heard. And now when you look back at it, it's extremely powerful. And what we didn't do at the time, or some of us didn't do at the time, we didn't listen. And it took me a while to actually understand it. And I did that through my own experiences. I've shared this before. Going into NFL locker rooms, and when you get in the media scrums, sitting with my recorder and listening. And when I heard what Malcolm Jenkins was talking about, when I heard what Chris Long was talking about, and what Torrey Smith was talking about, you understood that they're not protesting. The players weren't protesting. They weren't raising a fist in the air or taking a knee because they were going to be disrespectful to the military. That wasn't their intention, or to disrespect the flag. Now, it was interpreted that way. And let's be real, it was brought back up a little later when you had the president saying, yank the players off the field. And that's what he hoped that some of the NFL owners would do, and called them SOBs, which was disgraceful. It was absolutely disgraceful. And what we could really learn, I think, from the Colin Kaepernick situation is to listen. And that's the only way we're going to get better, is by listening. And for so many years, we have failed to listen. Where if we actually listened to the message, and I started to listen to the message, and you can change an opinion, and I did change that opinion, but when we really got to 2018 and you heard the message and you fully understood that what Colin Kaepernick was protesting was social injustice and was police brutality, you start to realize that if that's what it takes and that's the way that you have to call out for help, then not only can I appreciate it, not only can I respect it, but I'll listen to what we need to do to get better. And that's where it starts. And I'll keep on saying this all throughout the week and into the future. We need to listen. And hopefully this is a turning point, because what Colin Kaepernick was protesting about was about what we saw happen last week, what tragically happened to George Floyd. And instead, ever since 2016, and probably even still to this day, we still, some of us don't get. And I get it's a sensitive topic. You know, I get that people feel very strong about the military and very strong about the flag, as you should. No one's saying you shouldn't. But the intent of bringing that awareness was not to be disrespectful to the military, was not to be disrespectful to the flag. The recommendation to Colin Kaepernick to take a knee was actually done by a Green Beret and Nate Boyer. And if we listen more, we could change. And we should change,
Because what happened to George Floyd should never happen to anyone ever again. And sometimes you can't understand the situation until you walk in someone else's shoes. And a way that we could do that is by listening. And for Drew Brees in 2020, this isn't right when the protest started to happen. This isn't 2016. This is in 2020. For him, when he's asked that question, to then say that he'll never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States, it shows that he still doesn't get it. Because yes, you should be proud of your grandfather. You should be proud of people that put their body on the line for this country. But once again, the action wasn't done with the intent to disrespect the flag or to disrespect people that have risked their lives or made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. The message was used on a very public platform where the message needed to be heard. And it's time for us to stop deflecting the message. As Steven Jackson said, they're no longer asking for help. They're telling you, they're demanding that we need help. And that's what it is. So in 2020, when the NFL does resume, and when there are protests that are going to happen again on a football field, whether it's raising a fist in the air or whether it's taking a knee during the national anthem, can we please, please, please not get into this game where we debate, is it disrespectful to take a knee when the national anthem's playing? Because all we're doing is further pushing back what the message is. And it's time to stop deflecting the message. That needs to end. So for Drew Brees, you could still be proud of your family. You should be proud of your family. You should be proud of the flag that represents the United States of America. But now, through these last 24 hours, hopefully you're listening to your teammates in these meetings and you're seeing the reaction. And once again, for him to say that he'll never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag, you're missing the point. Because at this point, you should realize that it's not about disrespecting the flag. How many times does someone like Malcolm Jenkins or Colin Kaepernick have to say that? It's not about the flag. It's about raising awareness to the social injustice that happens in this country, to the police brutality that happens in this country, so we never see a situation like George Floyd again. And we have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. And hopefully, this is the turning point. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll break here. We'll come on back.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Alvin Kamara tweeted this out at a little after 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time today. I've had a day to digest the comments that Drew made. I was disappointed and hurt. We talked and I explained to him where he dropped the ball and he understood. But now it's time for us to be part of the solution, not the problem. We have to educate progress. And he's exactly right. There is no doubt about it. Drew Brees, even though I don't think he had bad intentions yesterday, he dropped the ball. Because what he did in the important part of the protests and raising awareness to the social injustice and raising awareness to what happens with police brutality, the flag has been used as something, as a symbol that's a very important and powerful symbol to a lot of people to deflect the message that Colin Kaepernick has been trying to say since 2016. And to be here in 2020 and still debating that and still not understanding that and still not grasping that, especially with what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, it's a bad moment for Drew Brees. Now, once again, does not mean Drew Brees is this awful, terrible human being. We saw what he did for New Orleans for, you know, through Katrina. We saw what he just did recently, donating $5 million during the coronavirus pandemic. But on this case and in this situation, he failed miserably. And now he's going to have to live with that. It doesn't mean he's a racist. It doesn't mean that he's an awful person. But now he has to gain back the trust of many people. And it starts with his teammates. Because if his teammates can start to forgive him, and you've seen that with some players, I'll play you some DeMario Davis audio in just a bit with Jim Rome. If his teammates start to forgive him, they know what he's about. They know what he's trying to do. If they could forgive him, maybe other people can forgive him as well. But with that being said, I also understand why some would not want to forgive him, because Drew Brees has a big-time platform, has a huge platform, and when you're given a message in a time like this, it better be the right message. And he did not give the right message yesterday. And it just further delays addressing the issue, not putting it all on him, but in the NFL circles, when we talk about protesting and we talk about this issue since 2016, it prevents, you know, some people from saying, aha, I get it. Now I got to listen and I got to see how we can get better. Let me read you some other tweets from Alvin Kamara. Had a very long but important thread. We'll read you the tweets right now. Alvin Kamara said, and this was all 2 hours ago, I'm a 24-year-old black man from Atlanta, mother from Africa, and an illegal alien for almost 30-some years until 15 months ago. I've seen racism and experienced social injustice personally, maybe even on a deeper level because my mother had a foreign accent. My license has been valid for as long as I can remember, but for some reason I still peep the rearview mirror a couple times when a cop gets behind me. Why? Because that's what I was taught to do. I've literally been in a bank and had the cops called on me, not because I was robbing it, but because I looked like I could be robbing it. I've been in nice restaurants and been asked to leave because I can't wear a hat or because I was dressed inappropriately for the dining room, but y'all know what that means. It was just too black to eat there that day. I'm saying all this to say, until you are black in America, you won't truly understand what it is to be black in America, and that's fine, but don't act like this doesn't exist or isn't real. Black boys go from cute little kids to threatening within the same breath, even if all they were doing was walking home, and a man walking in the wrong neighborhood becomes a casualty simply because he looks like he doesn't belong. These are tweets from Alvin Kamara. More tweets from Alvin Kamara. And I think this thread, you should really read it if you get, you know, brought in, to, you know, tune into the radio in the middle of it. And if you're just tuning in now, I really encourage people to go read the Alvin Kamara thread. He also said, I've been in enough situations where the color of my skin was seen as a big enough threat to cost me my life. And I know there are countless others that fit my description that could say the same. I can kneel confidently because I know that with just that small gesture, a much bigger message is being conveyed. And also within that gesture, the voices of those who no longer have a voice can be heard. It's a heck of a job by Alvin Kamara. A great job. So make sure you go read that. Make sure you go share that because it's a message that I think a lot of people who aren't black need to hear. And until you walk a day in someone's shoes, you may not truly be able to understand it. But the way we can try to understand it is by first off listening, getting educated, and then asking, how can we help and how can we try to create change? Let's hear some of DeMario Davis of the Saints. He was on the Jim Rome show earlier today.
What was disheartening about it was that we had hoped that we would hear him elaborate more on the problem of racism and particularly as it pertains to the black community and police brutality. I have a ton of respect for him doing an about face and saying, hey, I messed up.
And that's the part. No one's telling Drew Brees not to feel passionately about the military. No one's telling Drew Brees to not feel passionately about his grandfathers. But when we're talking about the protest isn't about that. Because many same African-Americans came back from the same wars, and they were treated like garbage. Where other people's grandfathers, because of the color of their skin, were not. And still to this day, when we fast forward here in 2020, there's still a lot of significant problems in this world. Just look what happened this past week, last week with George Floyd. Look what happened there. So next time you see a player raise a fist or take a knee during the national anthem, it's not to be disrespectful to the flag. It's not to be disrespectful to the military. It's to say, we need help. And let's use a big platform like an NFL game to try to bring an awareness to issues that we're experiencing daily. Let me hear one more cut from DeMario Davis on the Jim Rome Show.
All words are most importantly going to be marked by action. And one thing I know about Drew is he's a man of action more than words. But at the end of the day, it's going to be action that's required to bring about change. And you can only judge somebody based on their action, not by their first response, not by their second response, but ultimately, what do they do?
And that's how we continue to judge people. It's by your actions. That's how you judge people. That's how you know if that person is realistic or a phony. That's how you know if someone is a good person or a bad person. It's by their actions. And now, because everyone has a cell phone in their hands, we get to see more often than before time in history the actions of people. This has been an intense last 2 weeks. This has been an emotional last 2 weeks. And I hope that this is the turning point. I really do hope that. And if I'm saying it's intense and if I'm saying it's emotional, imagine what people that get affected by this on a daily basis are feeling this week. It's time to be better. Once again, I'll keep on saying it. It is time to listen and it's time to change. We'll break here. We'll come on back. When we do come on back, we will chat to the Rutgers head football coach, the man that is back in New Jersey. Greg Schiano is going to join us. We'll talk about how his team is talking about George Floyd. And we will also delve into what maybe some people can expect from the Rutgers football team with the man that led them to great heights back in Piscataway.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.